Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of CCL Products (India) Limited, hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Navalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Hello, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome all the participants to CCL Products (India) Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. The management is represented by Mr. Challa Srishant, Managing Director, Mr. Praveen Jaipuriar, CEO, Mr. B. Mohan Krishna, Executive Director, Mr. V. Lakshmi Narayana, CFO, Ms. Sridevi Dasari, Company Secretary, and Mr. P.S. Rao, Consultant Company Secretary. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Praveen for his opening comments, and then we'll open the floor for question and answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek, and thank you team Nirmal Bang for arranging this call. I wish all the participants a very happy New Year. As far as the quarter results are concerned, here are the highlights. The group has achieved a turnover of rupees 535 crores for the third quarter of 2022-23, as compared to rupees 423 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The net profit stands at rupees 73 crores, as against rupees 58.47 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The EBITDA is rupees 101 crores, and profit before tax is rupees 70 crores. These are the major highlights. We already announced our expansion for the MD plant at Vietnam, and I open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Congratulations, sir. I had a question on the new FD capacity and wanted to understand the unit economics there. What if 100 rupees per kg is our EBITDA, what is the kind of spread that we fetch usually on the FD side?
Generally, you know, the FD per kg EBITDA will be anywhere, you know, 30%-40% higher than the spray-dried EBITDA, and that is what we'll expect from.
Yeah.
What I was saying is that generally the freeze-dried EBITDA will be anywhere between 30%-40% higher than the spray-dried EBITDA, and that is what we'll expect from the new line in Vietnam as well when it gets commissioned.
Yeah. Also given the CapEx number that we have mentioned on the exchange, is it fair to assume that usually CapEx for the FD capacity is somewhere between 4-4.5 times higher per ton as compared to the spray-dried one?
4-4.5 times higher than.
Higher.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You have to do the mathematics. I hadn't seen the number this way. Yeah, you're saying for 16,000 tons we had announced around $30 million, and this is for 6,000 tons, which is one-third. Yeah, yeah. I think you've done the math right. It will be that many times higher.
For the overall 32,000 capacity, approx it comes as 15 crore per 1,000 tons. For this one it is approx 70 crores, right? From ROCE point of view, at optimum capacity utilization, maybe the ROCE for this one be half approx like 15 to 20% compared to approx 30% that we are seeing at optimum capacity for the spray dried one, right?
1.4 versus 1.9, no, let's see. 1.5 versus 1.5 ROC versus 1.9. So it is not half of it, it is approximately 40% lower than that.
Understood.
40%,
yeah. Sure, sir. Are we seeing any demand visibility on this side, and what is the timeline as such? Last question.
So the timelines is that quarter three of 24, 24-25 is where we will is the timeline we are looking for commissioning. We have, you know, freeze dried. Previous calls also we had indicated that only when we get fair bit of confidence that the volumes are. Okay, so the, what I was trying to say is that freeze-dried, as we have been informing in our earlier calls as well, because one, it is an expensive capex, and second, that, you know, the plant needs all the time. Even to get confident of our orders, which we are now, because we have been talking to some of our associates who have kind of given us this confidence to, get these quantities, as if we have this expansion. For freeze dried.
Sure, sir. And from numbers point of view, utilization would be the pickup in utilization would be the same like you had highlighted earlier, 30, 55 and 80 in the first, second and third years respectively.
Freeze dried, as I was telling you, that we have already got a lot of, confirmations from some of our things. So it will be closer to 50-60% in the first year itself.
Wonderful, wonderful. Got that, sir. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Vaidik Sarkar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, good morning and thanks for the opportunity. Wish you and yours a great year ahead. A bookkeeping question to start with. You know, how should we understand the lag in correlation between your headline revenue growth this quarter and the EBITDA growth? Was there an inventory markdown that we've momentarily taken? How should we understand that? And secondly, we understand the trial runs to new capacities in Vietnam have started. But when do you think we move into a commercial dispatch mode? And what's the timeline for utilization we're looking here?
Okay. So, you know, your voice was a little unclear, but I think what I understood is what you're asking is about a little more insight on our top line and bottom line number for the quarter.
That's right.
And
that's
then
right.
You're asking, when do we start, selling commercially from the expanded capacity of Vietnam. Is that right?
Correct. That's right, Praveen. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. So, you know, as you have seen, our top line growth has been 26.5% at a group level. This is backed by around very low single-digit volume growth. And the reason behind is that we had announced earlier also that we are taking a shutdown in our India plant and we were doing trials at Vietnam. So we knew that there will be a volume, So what I was saying is that, the offline value growth is 26.5%, which is on top of around low single-digit volume growth. The reason for this is that we had, already announced a shutdown in our India plant, maintenance shutdown for 20 days, and that led to lower production and therefore lower sales, volume sales. And in Vietnam, we were doing, pre-commercial trials. So that also took away some days of ours in terms of production capacity. And that's the reason the volume growth was 10%. And, the commercial sales for Vietnam capacity has already started. So we are already informed that this quarter we will be doing commercial sales from the Vietnam capacity. And that's the reason we stay on our guidance of 20 to 25% volume growth, because this quarter we'll get that additional capacity.
Okay, thanks. That was helpful. But your line was a little patchy, so I caught only part of it. Could you flesh out any of your thinking behind the new capex really? You did answer this to the previous participant in brief, But if you just flesh out in a bit more elaborate manner, is there a disruption in the supply side that we'd like to take advantage of in the freeze-dried side, or is this driven by one of our buyer relationships that's really giving us the confidence to get into expansion more again? What's the broad thinking here?
This is Srishant here. I think maybe I should explain this a little bit more in detail. Normally the indication given earlier is something that we will take up maybe a year later, and that was the original plan. But what happened is about 3 months ago itself, our existing freeze-dried capacity got pre-sourced on FY24. And our existing customers itself have been asking us for some additional volumes, which we have not been able to provide. And we've been in discussion with the new customers in the recent past.
Yeah. So what I was mentioning earlier was that freeze-dried is something that we were actually planning on taking up about a year later. But what happened is 3 months ago itself, our existing freeze-dried capacity got completely booked till FY24. And recently we've added a couple of new customers who've been giving us their projections for the next couple of years. So one of these customers specifically came and told us that if you're willing to set up a new line, they're willing to give us a commitment for 5 years in writing for 50% of the capacity. So once we got that commitment from that customer, that's when we put it to the board and we said that we'll go for that expansion. So we have a fair amount of visibility for this new expanded capacity and a commitment from an existing customer, one of the newly added customers.
So that's very happy to know, Srishant. Congrats to the team on that. It's good to know, and thanks for fleshing this out. It gives us perspective. And if I may just end with one last question, what's the status of the India CAPEX? Are we on track for a 15-month launch from here on? And how should we imagine that coming in?
Yes, we are on track for that. So by March of 2024, we should be up and running. In India.
Sure. Thanks, Srishant. And just one last one from me. What's the status of our domestic branded business? Any comments on how that's shaping up? And by end of FY24, should we eventually look at a break-even in that business? How should we imagine that part of the business?
So on an MIS basis, we already broke even last year itself. And that's one of the reasons why we were going ahead with this demerger as well, because it didn't make any sense for us to separate it into two entities due to transfer pricing issues. We have to show profit in one entity and a loss in another. It's actually giving a bit of a misleading information in the market. So the fact that we've broken even last year, from this year onwards, it will be profitable and growing.
Sure. Thanks, and my best wishes to the team. All the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sri Krishna from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First of all, congratulations for a good quarter. So my question is, any indication on capacities in Vietnam for the coming quarter, what do you think? What overall performance? Any indication on that for Vietnam?
So for Vietnam, last quarter we were actually we started the commissioning part. We started taking up some trials and all, and now in Q4 that commissioning will be completed.
Okay, all right. And what do you think about the capacities? What would be your expansion plan? Or have you planned anything like that?
No, so Vietnam, in this quarter, we will become 30,000 tons of SD capacity in Vietnam.
Okay.
And that additional 6,000 will come in next year, next calendar year.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Congratulations for, you know, great M9 for FY23. I have three questions. The first one is, you know, you mentioned that one of our new customers has given, you know, specific commitment for 50% of the FD capacity in Vietnam. Having said that, have the underlying, you know, factors changed generally for the market? Because until last quarter, what, you know, you were mentioning is that the whole FDC side of the business is in overcapacity and people are finding it literally difficult to, you know, sort of, you know, feed up their, you know, expansions. So have the underlying factors changed? And this is one which is specific to us?
So actually, that's a very good question. One small correction I have to give, actually. The capacity commitment has not been given for Vietnam specifically. The capacity commitment has been given to the organization,
saying
that 50% of the expanded capacity they want us to supply.
Okay.
Now, the FD scenario has not changed in the world at all. In fact, earlier also we were always operating in the bulk space. But now that a new EOU2 facility has come online and small packs also have come online, the customer I'm referring to is actually a small pack customer who has given us this commitment. So we will be executing that from India, and some of the bulk production which we are currently doing in India, we are planning on transitioning that to Vietnam.
Okay. And so in that case, any particular reason why, you know, this plant is being put up in Vietnam and not an extension of the existing FDC plant here in India itself?
Yes. Most of our existing customers, especially after the Russia situation, they've come to us asking for options of territorial de-risking. Today, right now, we are in a position where India and Vietnam have both taken a similar stand with respect to the Russia-Ukraine war.
Mm-hmm.
But what if the stands were different? Then it would have been a bigger risk for our customers, let it be in Russia or in Europe or in other parts of the world.
Mm.
So most of the customers across the world now, as part of their systems, processes and policies, they want multiple origin suppliers to be onboarded. And if we as a company can offer from two different locations, automatically we'll go to the top of the list.
Okay. Okay. Second question is on, you know, again, from our previous conference calls, what I recall is that on the working capital side, there were two issues. One was that obviously the raw material prices were higher, which means that, you know, as an absolute number, the working capital went higher. And second is that, you know, because of the shipping routes not working properly, there was a higher inventory which was also being built up. Any of these problems have gotten sorted out now? And consequent question is that when we take up this $50 million expansion and that issue on the working capital also is, you know, probably if not subsiding, then by FY25, what would our gross debt number be? Would it be crossing a four-digit number? On let's say 1,100 crore number?
It's about, so it's likely to reach around 1,085 crores,
mm-hmm.
which includes freeze dried expansion, everything put together.
Okay.
Okay, and as you were asking, see, yes, these two changes have taken place. One, freight rates have started easing up and the supplies are becoming much more stable now, which is why slowly we are focusing on our inventory levels also coming down. In fact, one of the things you would have noticed also is that though we did a plant shutdown, there has been a similar, or in fact, a similar amount of dispatches, if not maybe slightly more. in quarter three also. So, same way, even the working capital cycle is coming down because of this, and the transport costs are also coming down. So obviously that means that working capital cycle also will ease up a little bit going forward. And actually, the green coffee prices also have come down from the 2,300 levels to right now around 1,900, came to 1,700, and now it's stabilized more or less at the 1,900 levels. Going forward in the second half of this year, we're expecting a further drop in raw material prices because of Brazil crop and all that. So once that happens, automatically that working capital also, the requirement will reduce.
Right. And last question from my side. Now with the 6,000-ton announcement, we would be reaching now to almost 76,000-77,000 tons of capacity. Beyond FY25, how much growth should one look at? Is there still scope for us to grow at a similar double-digit number even beyond that? Or we would be a fair size of the global market for us to then have a slightly moderated growth?
See, to be very frank, at this point in time, it is difficult for us to give a projection beyond 3 years. But our fair understanding of the market is quite simple. End of the day, with the economies of scale and our current positioning where we are present across the world. We've established ourselves as reliable partners for customers across the world. We are getting into value-added products, so that gives us a lot more credibility in market, which is also one reason why we've been getting not only existing customers, new customers are also coming on board, and our volumes have been increasing. There are certain markets which we haven't even started tapping into. Again, because we were running at peak capacity till now, our idea is we've already started developing partners in different territories, and depending on how things are, if you're able to ramp up our volumes and the utilization comes to the levels that we are projecting for the next 3 years, we will look at setting up maybe another unit outside India and Vietnam. So there are a couple of options which we are looking at, but that again, at least for 2 to 3 years, we won't be acting on that. We're just creating a market first. There are a couple of customers, in fact, who've given us offers saying they want to partner with us. So a lot of options are always there on the table. We haven't decided or concluded on anything right now. We'll first grow the market, create a volume base in that territory, and then we'll take a call if we have to set up a unit.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's it from my side, and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, team, and thanks for the opportunity. My question here would be, so rightly said, we have been adding new capacities very aggressively. I just want to understand, if you look at so you talked about the new territories and new markets. So can you please highlight, what would be the total percentage of the instant coffee these markets would be having today? Just to understand the addressable market for yourself.
So today, the total instant coffee market size is about 900,000 tons. And this is growing at a pace of about 2.5% year on year. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And market leader, obviously, is Nestlé. And they've been in this industry for more than 100 years. And after Nestlé, in private label, we are the largest manufacturers in the world. And now with these capacities, the second private label manufacturer will be about half our capacity, half our expanded capacity.
Right, sir. So my question was, you just stated about getting into new markets. So what would be the size of this market? So probably this would be a new opportunity for us. So just to understand the quantum of this market,
yeah,
the scale of opportunity.
So if you talk about actually globally coffee, which is being spread across the world, your developed countries are the main consumers, and these developed countries has already a lot of suppliers, competition and all that. But there are several other countries which are there, which have high import duties, restrictions, and because there are no manufacturers locally, all these countries, people are actually paying these duties, taxes, and selling it in those local markets. So our idea was, if we can actually create a base set of customers in these markets, then it will be justified for us to explore the option of setting up a manufacturing unit, which is why we're talking to existing brand owners and repackers in these markets who are already buying large volume. So if we address this market in the future, it could be a market of maybe even 100,000 tons.
Right. So initially we would be supplying from India and Vietnam, and probably
yes,
once we get that confidence, we would be setting up new capacities.
Exactly. Because again, we don't want to take any risk or chances. Unless there is a 100% clear addressable market, we will never take a chance of going in for that expansion. We've always been conservative. Even now we are being conservative. I know everyone thinks that we're going in for aggressive expansion, but from our side, we are still being very conservative with whatever we are telling, because we don't want to take any unnecessary risk.
Sure. So secondly, if you look at when you say that the new commitments are coming from your existing clients as well, when the instant coffee market is growing roughly at around 2.5%, why your clients would be growing at such an aggressively, or probably they are changing their suppliers and they have more confidence in you, and accordingly you would be having a larger wallet share?
Yeah, so the answer is actually quite simple to this. Till now, our company, we've always been at the absolute bottom of the pyramid with bulk manufacturing, basic products. Even if you're doing premium products, we are able to do it at a particular cost price point, which nobody else can actually come close to. Now, from that, we are changing the entire image of the company. After we got into FMCG products, after we started getting into our own brand and our range of products that we've introduced, even our customers who've seen these products are surprised with the entire range that we have, and now they have that confidence that we've been able to take on the big guys even in India. And now they have that much more confidence that we can support them in their respective territories, which is why they are coming on board, coming to us. So they want to not only work with us, they want to partner with us. And after seeing what we have done, they're also realizing that other companies which are based in, say, Europe, especially with this current situation that is there, with energy prices going through the roof and multiple other issues coming up and a lot of disruptions being there, they've understood that they need right partners who will be with them throughout. And here, we are one of the very few companies that can offer from two different locations. For example, the largest manufacturing country for instant coffee today is still Brazil. The volumes that Brazil does, it's still the largest. But all the Brazilian manufacturers are restricted to use only local raw materials to create products. For us, there is no such restriction. We can buy raw materials from anywhere in the world, in India and in Vietnam. So our range of products will be much, much wider than what a Brazil can offer. If you look at economies of scale, yes, Brazil will be competitive. But once you restrict yourself to only one raw material and 60 to 70% of your product cost depends on that raw material, you are restricting your world a lot. So because that flexibility is what we can provide, we started focusing on that as our strength. And now that we can do small packs and we have state-of-the-art facilities in place, that is giving even customers a confidence. Customers who thought you will never get these kind of qualities anywhere else in the world except Europe, these customers are shocked to find that we have all the necessary certifications, we have all the sustainability measures in place, we are doing innovation and R&D constantly. So they're surprised that we are doing so much, which is why normally any customers will try us out. So they tried us out last year, they've seen the quality, consistencies and supplies. They've been extremely happy, which is why they've given us these kind of commitments. So we're actually, in a way, going up that value chain. And as we are going up that value chain, it's giving us that much more confidence that we can keep growing in a very sustainable way.
Right. So we don't have a commitment, but at least we have a lot of confidence that we'll be able to scale up the utilization rates for the new capacities that we would be adding over the next couple of years.
So FD, we have a commitment, not only confidence.
Yeah.
We have a written commitment from the customer, otherwise we said that we are not going to go ahead.
Right.
So after getting a written commitment only, we made the announcement.
Right. But for spray dried, we have a lot of confidence.
It is purely confidence because repeat customers and we know what we are doing. So we were running short of capacity. Our domestic brands are growing. We needed to free up capacity in India also. So strategically, if we have to achieve the growth rate that we had in mind, we had to take a chance. We had to go in for that expansion. And day one, we are now still running at, as soon as the commissioning is done, we've already submitted samples to customers. We already started getting approvals also for the new line. So that gives us the confidence that whatever numbers that we've given, we'll definitely stick to that.
Right. And from fourth quarter onwards, should we expect like the outsourcing would reduce significantly given that Vietnam capacity has started its commercial operations?
Yes, it will. As a couple of contracts which are still there, as in next financial year, that's from April onwards, we are hoping it will become zero. But as of now, we are still outsourcing a little bit because we already have some commitments and some overbookings and all that. So to streamline all that, this quarter also, there will be some outsourcing that we will be doing.
Right.
Because the stabilization, everything has to be done in Vietnam. That will also take some time.
Right. And sir, on the freeze-dried capacity commitment that we have got from one of our clients, so there the margins would be normal as compared to the current volumes, right, of freeze-dried?
It's actually because it's small packs, it's a little better.
Okay.
Again, whatever assumption, because for Vietnam, we look at Vietnam as a complete standalone unit by itself. So we're not assuming those additional margins will come in, which is why if anyone asks for an ROCE and all that, we'll just take the most conservative numbers. We will not assume that those additional margins will be attributable to that entity.
Right. And the last question.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to please rejoin the queue. There are many other participants who are waiting for their turn. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir, and wish you all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Richard D'Souza from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah. Just two, three questions from my side. One is these new customers who are coming in. I mean, could you give a color on them as to whether they are established brands or superstores or departmental stores?
Through one of our existing customers, two sub-customers, I should say. One is an established brand by itself and another is a big supermarket chain.
Okay. So, if you look at the overall picture, Shishant, could you share what would our presence be among the top 10 consumers of coffee, whether they be brands or whether they be coffee chains or superstores? And then how much space do you think we have to grow
Pardon? What?
Sir, this is I'm sorry to interrupt. Sir, your voice is fumbled. Can you please use your handset to ask the question?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I was asking that for CCL products, what would be your presence among the top 10 consumers of coffee?
Across the world, or you're talking about India?
We are talking about the world.
Apart from Nestle, whom we are not selling directly to, I think we might be selling indirectly to them. But apart from that, I think almost all the top brands we are only supplying to. JD is number two in the world. There are customers, public information. Strauss is one of our partners for almost 20 odd years. Yeah, several other customers, let it be in the US, in UK, Russia. So all the top brands are there. Some of them I can't actually name because of our confidentiality agreements. But most of these things are there in the public domain also.
Okay.
And within India also, virtually all the startups we are working with, anyone who's doing coffee, instant coffee especially, there is some connect or the other with us. Let it be a Sleepy Owl or a Blue Tokai or a Rage Coffee, Reliance, Spencer's, Big Bazaar, private labels. All of them we are working with.
Okay. Good to hear that. So the chronological, this is basically, if you present with everybody, and when we reach our estimated
capacity,
just a minute. Can you hear me now, sir?
Yeah, better.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I was asking that now that we are present with most of the top consumers, and when we reach our estimated capacity of 75,000-80,000 over next 2-3 years. I mean, what further after that? Because that 75,000-80,000 maybe will be about 7-8% of the global instant coffee market. So how do we envisage growth after that?
So one of the things that we made clear from day one is we are endeavoring to transition into an FMCG company. So we are actively working on improving our brand presence, not only in India. We're looking at outside India as well. So we have a roadmap planned out, and we are ensuring that we will go to only areas or territories where there is no conflict with our existing customers. So a lot of these distributors who've been in the business for several years, they've also expressed interest of placing our products in those respective countries, and the partners that we've developed, including supermarkets, because of the private label connects that we have with them, they've also agreed to place products that are not competing with them directly.
Okay.
So we do have a roadmap planned out, and next 2-3 years, we're going to do the seeding, and we'll see the results after 3 years.
Okay. And one last question from me is on the China market. So what is your approach going to be there in China?
So we're already supplying to the China market from Vietnam directly. And going forward also, we will be addressing this market. It's, you know, one of the fastest growing markets actually for coffee.
Yeah. And could be one of the largest also going ahead.
It is already one of the largest, actually. Other countries, at least there's a degrowth. Here, there's a substantial growth. And they buy everything, like from the cheapest quality to the most expensive quality. So it's a very, very wide-ranged market, and a bit complex also.
Okay. Could you share any light on how large is the market right now in China for instant coffee?
So the last estimate I saw was around 50,000 tons is the capacity, or is the consumption that's taking place right now, 50 to 55,000.
Okay, Shishan, thank you. Thanks a lot. Thanks to both you and Praveen for good results. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, ladies and gentlemen, if you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset while asking a question. This is required to ensure optimum audio quality on the call. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Akhil Parekh from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the Vietnam FDC plant. I couldn't get the timeline by when it will be commercialized and how are we planning to fund the expansion?
Okay, the Vietnam FD plant will be up and running by FY24-25
Q3. 3Q FY25.
Yeah.
So December 24 kind of.
Yeah, in quarter three, whether December, October or November will vary a little bit. And the cost of the project is about $50 million. Around $35 million is the debt component that we're looking at as of now.
Okay. And looking from the previous expansions and the targets we had given for FDC, so would it be fair to assume probably 350 odd crore would be a peak utilization for this capacity?
350 odd crores would be peak utilization for what?
Sales, peak sales from the capacity.
From this capacity, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it depends on the raw material prices and all these other factors as well. But assuming about 360 crores is the, with the current levels, around 360 crores is the number.
Okay. And can you please throw some light on the private label business in terms of the sales where we have reached and are we on line to achieve the target of 200 crore plus of the top line in FY23?
Private label business?
Yeah, the Continental Coffee brand.
Domestic business. Sorry.
Domestic brand, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, the business continues to grow. This quarter was a little... when compared to the 30-35% growth that we were achieving, this is a little less growth because we have taken very steep price increases, doing some, putting some stricter financial controls also. But YTD growths are intact. We are growing at around 25%. And 200 crores is what we were looking to achieve. It could be 10-20 crores here or there, but in that range we will kind of this thing, achieve the numbers.
Okay. This is pure
180 that we had said earlier, but there could be a 10-15 crores of here or there because we are correcting a lot of things in the market. But the growth momentum, the secondary growth, the market share gains, all that is continuing on the same momentum as we were doing.
Sure. And this 200 crore is pure domestic, a pure brand business, right? Or 70% would be a brand?
No. So total will do approximately 250 crores, out of which 70. Okay. So, yeah, so it will land around 175-180 crores. Pure brand.
And lastly, what's the total debt position right now and the plans of repayment of the debt in the next 1-2 years?
Sorry, I just didn't get your
total
question.
Total debt position as of...
total debt position.
Yeah, and the plans of repayment.
Yeah. So, India, it was 146 crores term loan as of now, and working capital it was around 420 crores. And at our Vietnam, it was $20 million USD as the term debt, and $15 million is the working capital debt. So, it means $35 million is at Vietnam, and here it is around $20 million term debt. And around 50 million working capital.
Okay. And then fourth, obviously, this with this new FDC capacity extension, another $35 million of debt will be added, right?
That is to the FD facility that is getting added.
Correct. And plans of repayment of the debt?
It was scheduled to repay in 4 years from commencement of commercial operations. That is from December 25, the repayments for the FD facility start.
Okay. December 25?
Yeah, 24 we scheduled, Q3 of 25 we scheduled to commence the operations. And one area is the moratorium, that is the December 25 commences. From there it was 4 years we scheduled the repayment period.
Sure, sure. So, and lastly, the cost of debt would be for this new FDC?
It's too early. I think it is linked with the SOFR. And we expect SOFR plus somewhere around the spread, it will vary from bank to bank. Closer to the financial closure, we will be able to come out of it. It is linked with all the USD loans are linked with SOFR, as you all know.
Okay. Okay. That's all from my side, and best wishes for coming forward.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Am I audible to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please proceed.
Yeah. Sir, thanks a lot for the opportunity. Majority of my questions had been answered. One just clarification. You indicated that this quarter, the volumes were down because of some issues in India as well as in Vietnam. So are you saying that year over year volume would have degrown?
No, it wouldn't have degrown. So we were low single digit is what I mentioned. So it's not a degrowth at all. And there is no issue. It was a planned shutdown that we took.
I know.
And which announced also. And the next quarter, because of our enhanced capacity, we will catch up on that as well.
Okay. So basically, despite, let's say, you know, low single digit kind of a volume growth,
uh-huh,
EBITDA, overall EBITDA, absolute EBITDA had been, you know, pretty decent, 107 crore. So basically, are you saying that then the EBITDA per kg or the realization has improved significantly versus, let's say, the year over year?
No, so EBITDA also grew in the same line. So the volume grew by single digit, the EBITDA also grew by single digit this quarter, if you see. So there wasn't any change per kilo of EBITDA. It remained the same. So both the volume and EBITDA we have always maintained will grow at the same levels.
But EBITDA growth, if I'm not wrong, EBITDA growth is around, let's say, 13%, right?
No, EBITDA growth is around 8%.
Okay.
Exact 8%, 8.5 or something like that. And volume growth is, you know, I told you, single digit, low single digit. So pretty much both are in line, absolutely in line. And that's what we kind of maintain, that, you know, our EBITDA growth will actually more or less follow the volume growth.
EBITDA growth will more or less follow the volume growth. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Zubin Prasad from Ambit Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
There's some background noise.
Background, yes.
Sir, I'm sorry, I just joined a little late. So I just wanted to know for this quarter, what were the utilization levels for Vietnam as well as India, sir? I think so, I missed that part if it was asked before.
So, you know, if I were to, initially we announced that there was a shutdown at our India plant. And because of trials at Vietnam plants, we lost a few days of our production. So that way, if you see our capacity utilization would be, you know, 75% or so, generally, which is at 85-90%, because that's the maximum you can go to. So that was the, you know, capacity utilization for this quarter. But that is, of course, an aberration because of the shutdown that we had taken.
Right, sir. Sir, if you could just help me with the breakup for Vietnam at least. So India, okay, we had shutdown, but for Vietnam?
Vietnam also, we had, you know, the commissioning is happening for the new line, no? The additional 16,000 tons capacity line that we have commissioned. So because of that commissioning, there is line alignment and all the other utility alignment that has to be done, which meant that there will be a shutdown for around 5-6 days for that unit as well. So that is also the volume that we lost. So there also the capacity utilization for the current capacity would have been at 80%.
Okay, sir.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, sir. I just wanted to know that, sir. Thanks, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, question is on our long-term growth perspective. So as we, by FY25 probably, will be roughly 65 to 75,000 tons capacity up and running. That will be close to 7 to 8% of the world global market. And you mentioned that by that time, probably the second largest player will be almost half of our capacity. So we will be having a fair large market share globally, though it will be in a global context, it may be only 7 to 8%. Do you see, sir, that this global market will keep on relying more and more on outsourcing and the market will be getting more and more consolidated in hands of larger players like you, so you can gain more market share and drive the further economies of scale and geographical distribution? That's what you have mentioned that is working in favor for you right now the most. How the market will change, sir, after FY25? Some indication.
Coffee market for instant coffee, traditionally, apart from one or two big companies having their own manufacturing, almost all other companies have realized that brand is where the money really is. So they've always been outsourcing. Nobody wants the headache of manufacturing products, creating new products. They just look for the right partner who will create these products. And we have positioned ourselves as the right partner for most of these people. So, for example, a few days ago, we get this news that Blue Tokai did a fundraise and they're doing really well. Immediately, we start getting inquiries from 5-6 other companies who are interested in introducing their own products. Now, obviously, it doesn't make sense for them to consider setting up their own manufacturing unit. But benchmarking companies like Blue Tokai, they want to get into the space. So they'll have to come to people like us and buy the products. And we're one of the only companies that can offer the entire range of products that will actually distinguish themselves from the existing people who are already there in the market. We're creating so many new products in our portfolio that we can actually offer a wide range of products to customers. So we really don't see that changing anytime soon in the international market also. There is a possibility that if a brand is extremely successful, if they feel that the supplies are getting threatened, they may want to acquire existing factories or to want to have their own manufacturing. But till date, we have not seen that happen. We've seen brands with manufacturing selling their manufacturing units or shutting down their manufacturing units because they feel it's easier, much more economical and safer to just procure from existing manufacturers. So that is what we've seen in the global context till now.
Okay. Sir, you have also mentioned that you have recently got customer confidence or assurance for the lifting almost 50% of the additional capacity which you will be creating at Vietnam. So, and this is the new customers which you have acquired or this is from the existing set of customers itself which you have got?
So, as you know, we have partners in different regions. And our partner in one of these regions has acquired two new customers on our behalf. So the commitment that we got is from our existing customer whom we've had a relationship for more than 25 years. And the new customer that has acquired, they've given a back-to-back commitment, which is what has been passed on to us automatically.
So basically, this is coming through a distributor with whom you are already or a partner with, but this he has got a new customer.
Yes, it's actually basically I wouldn't call this person as a distributor. I'd say partner because we are genuinely also partnering with this person, with this company, and whoever they've acquired as a customer is basically our customer, whom we have helped them acquire. So it's being, for multiple reasons, it's being routed through this distributor and partner. They are our face in that particular region.
Right. And so generally,
being linked with the... I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to please rejoin the queue. There are many other participants. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Himanshu Nayyar from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So first, just to understand this quarter a bit better, there's been a sharp jump we have seen in depreciation and interest, and there's been a negative tax number. So if you can just explain it, whether this is on account of commissioning of the new Vietnam capex, or there is a working capital increase element to this as well, especially the sharp jump in interest cost for the quarter.
So, Mr. Lakshmana here, as explained to you, there is a bit of working capital utilization has gone up from the previous level. And also, as we all know, that the rate of interest, it has been increased for the last almost, as we all witness RBI, from 4% repo rate, it has gone up to 600%, which has reflected in interest rates that are being extended by the bank. So because of the rate of interest increase and the volume of working capital increase, the interest cost element, finance cost has gone up. And the second is the capitalization of the Aglo and the packing facility has been declared in the month of September. And due to that, the additional depreciation has come in place.
Okay. And on the tax, sir, if you can explain, I mean, is there any one-off adjustment there?
No, this is having capitalized the packing facility, we could claim, we are eligible to claim additional depreciation. Thereby, the tax is assessed on the MAT rate against the book profit. So hence, you could see that when we account for the MAT rate, combining the 9 months operations, so the reflection can be seen that the tax is more compared with the PBT level.
So FY24, can you guide us broadly what should be a blended tax rate that we should be building in, sir?
It is likely to be somewhere around 18%. We are, this year he is talking about, 23 financial year, we are likely to end up at 18% the tax rate. And next year we have the MAT credit, we are likely to end up around 22%.
Got it, sir. And second and final question would be your medium-term volume growth outlook is well understood, but would you want to give any guidance for FY24 as such? Because from where I see it, given that outsourcing will go down to zero, as you said, which will get replaced by new volumes from Vietnam, and earlier we had talked about a 50% utilization, so that means about 8,000 tons. So net-net, are we looking at only a 5,000 ton sort of incremental volume in FY24, about 12-13% sort of volume growth? Is that a fair estimate?
See, as a group, we've already given an indication for the next, including this year, 15-20% volume growth will be there. This year, we've actually enhanced that 15-20% to 20-25% because of certain extra demand that we've seen coming in from the market. So our initial plan, as I think everyone is already aware, we were looking at doubling our top line, bottom line within 4 years is what we had told at the beginning of this financial year. So as of now, we are fully on track for achieving that objective, hopefully a little sooner, but as of now, we can definitely commit to a 15-20% volume growth for next year, and we already have commitments in place for about 70% of our target. So it's only a balance 30% that we have to put in place. And during the year, if something changes, we'll obviously keep updating everyone as well.
Understood. Got it, sir. Thank you. That's all for me and all the best to you. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vidit Shah from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, good. So my first question was just a carry forward from the previous participant. Next year we'll have Vietnam capacities coming up, and I'm guessing most of this 15% to 20% growth would come from that company. So wouldn't the tax rate go down given that Vietnam is at zero tax, or are we starting to pay tax in Vietnam now?
No. So I think what Mr. Lakshminarayana was giving you was the tax rate for India. So if you look at the actual blended tax rate, it will come down further. And you're right, there is still zero tax in Vietnam for us. And even the new facility will still come under the zero tax as of now. Yeah, so the blended tax rate will definitely come down.
Got it. And so could you just shed some light on the major difference in cost of production between India and Vietnam? Are they similar? Because we've typically observed that we make better margins in manufacturing out of Vietnam versus India. And so is that true? And, you know, why is that?
Yeah. So actually, if you look at conversion costs, it's more or less comparable between India and Vietnam. Because let it be labor, let it be power, fuel, everything else is comparable. There is a slight advantage that we get in Vietnam because of availability of local raw material and the lack of additional transport cost of bringing it to India. Like India, we are currently not growing sufficient coffee to cater to the requirement that is there, which is why we are still dependent on imports in India. But Vietnam, there is substantial amount of raw material. Vietnam is the largest Robusta grower in the world, the second largest coffee grower in the world. And because you don't have to spend that extra amount of transport, automatically that becomes a cost saving. In the past, in fact, when the transport costs were increasing dramatically, naturally our margins in Vietnam also were significantly higher. Because that cost was not there.
Got it. Some timelines on...
Mr. Shah, I'm sorry to interrupt. Sir, I would request you to please rejoin the queue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Amol Rao from Kitara Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Is the CAPEX in Vietnam at our existing facility at Đắk Lắk, or is it a new greenfield?
The same facility.
It's at the same facility.
Yeah.
And do the capital costs get lowered because we have utilities in place? Do we have infrastructure in place? Does that contribute to slightly lower setting up costs?
Not really, because as in the facilities which are common are like office facilities, canteen and all, but that also we have to increase our capacities because the number of people will increase. And freeze drying is something which needs a little bit more of technical know-how. So our manpower planning is going to be completely different from what it was for spray drying. So they will be factored in all those additional costs, which is why the project cost also is what it is right now. So there's no real infrastructure cost saving that's going to be there. When we built the SD plant also, we've optimized it for the people who are there, for everything. We've optimized everything over there. So this, you'll have to factor in all the costs.
Okay. Thanks. That was really helpful. Wish you all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Samir Deshpande from Fairdale Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. We have good results in this quarter. And in 9 months, you mentioned that blended tax rate will be lower. So actually, what would be the blended tax rate for the current year as well as next year?
Blended tax rate is likely to be around 12%.
How much?
And this will continue even for the next year also.
Can you repeat? I could not hear.
If it is a blended tax rate, it is at
12%.
When we get into the FD facilities also on, and it is likely to go further down.
Okay. That will be quite good because... Continue.
Yeah, the FD facility also is going to be full-fledged in next year operations. You could see the reflection of the tax rates because the capacity is more at Vietnam end And the blended level, it will go much further lower to the 12% level also.
Around 12%.
So. Yeah.
Okay. And regarding this working capital, I think it was mentioned, but can you give me the total gross debt and net debt as of today?
Working capital at India end, it was around 450 crores. And at term debt, it was 145 crores as of now. So it means that 595 crores is 600 crores almost, the working capital as well as the term debt at India. And in Vietnam, it was 35 million. 20 million is the term debt and 15 million is the working capital debt, 35 million. It's almost around 300 crores. So there 300, in India it is 600, total 900 crores is the total debt, term loan as well as the working capital.
Okay. And the net debt would be around 800?
This is the debt as of date.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Okay.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Devanshu Sampat from Yes Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Sampat, I have unmuted your line. Kindly proceed with your question. As the current participant is not answering, we move on to the next participant. The question is from the line of Rakesh Vadwani from Monarch EIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So coming to the debt part, so as the green coffee prices are coming down, so there will be a lesser debt, lesser working capital debt in the coming years. Is my understanding correct?
Not really, because the volume of the operations at the consolidation level, it increased because 30,000 tons capacity, the expanded capacity is likely to come on board the next financial year. It is likely to add some, maybe little extent, because the capacity is from 13,500 to 30,000 tons it goes, right? 16,500 tons capacity is getting added. So proportionately, even the easing out is possible on account of green coffee prices, but because of the volumes, there is a likely little amount of increase will be there.
Okay, okay. And then what is the blended rate of interest that we are paying on the debt?
In India, it varies from term loans to working capital. Working capital, as we all know that there is an increase in the rate of interest. It is running around 6.5%. And in Vietnam, the debt is linked with the SOFR. As we all know that SOFR, it is around 4.6%. Plus the spreads and all, it is working out around 6.5% there as well.
Okay. One last question from my side. When we look at our growth, it is higher than the overall instant coffee growth globally. So you said new customers are coming up, or the customers are increasing the quantity with us, or they have more confidence. So just wanted to understand two things from our side. What is leading more customer to us? Is it because of the cost that we are able to provide them, or is it because of the variety that you mentioned in the call? And who are the customers? Is it brand people are more coming to you, or the big retail chains are coming up, or new the startups are coming up? Which customer type you are witnessing more growth? Is it the branded or the distributor or the new startups? Thank you.
So it's actually growth across all quarters, but when the new customers, basically, it's more than price. It is the range of products, the quality that we are able to offer, the ability to give them alternate options. Okay. Because we already have our R&D and everything in place, it's easier for us to supply or give customers what they want. For any other manufacturer, normally they'll have standard vanilla type products, 2, 3, or 4 different blends. Here we're talking about having more than 1,000 different products in our portfolio. And each product being unique in nature, we are able to give a customer any quality that they need for any market that they need. And because of a prior experience, we know what products work in which market. There are certain products which absolutely do not work in certain markets at all. So all that know-how is helping our customers build sustainable and sustainable brands in that particular region.
Okay. And sir, with respect to growth from the customer type, is it a constant, is it same from all the customer, or there a particular set of customer like startups or the retail chains are doing more, or is it same?
Startups, number of startups might increase, but the volumes will be very, very, very small. The actual volumes will always be coming from either existing customers who are increasing their market share, or it will come from new players who are, as in existing brands that want to transition from their existing suppliers over to us.
Okay, sir. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Devanshu Sampat from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah, so the two questions. One is on the freight rates. So have they normalized for us? Have they normalized for us yet, or is it still higher? Or you know, can we expect some savings going ahead?
They've already normalized now, in especially in this quarter.
Okay.
It's come back to the previous levels.
Okay. And secondly, now with the new FD facility addition, you know, which is obviously a higher value item. And as you mentioned, the commitment for small packs also has been given by their customer. So, you know, there'll be high utilization of the same. So can you give a sense of what kind of EBITDA per kg number now we are working with? Because earlier you mentioned that because of higher, you know, spray-dried mix, the number should not change much. But yeah. Now, is there any number that you're working with for FY25-26? Maybe some color on that.
So FY24-25, once the line comes online, 25-26 onwards, definitely we're expecting an improvement in the per kg blended realizations. To be frank, it's very early for us to tell at this point in time what that number is likely to be. There are too many moving parts as of now. Even now, like one of the clarifications I've given earlier is, the commitment we have from our customer is for the 50% of the expanded capacity that we're going to build online, but they're not saying that they want it from only one particular origin or region or anything like that. There's a good possibility that that volume will be coming from India itself, and some of the other products which we're producing in India will get transitioned to Vietnam. So if you want to look at it on a standalone basis, Vietnam unit as a standalone unit, then we cannot factor in the additional margins that we'll be getting into that unit. So that's why whatever numbers, whatever ROCE and whatever calculations we are taking, we are always taking the worst case scenario and then calculating.
Okay, got it. Thank you, and wishing you all the very best. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you so much for another opportunity. Just one question from my side. In one of your comments, you mentioned that total market for instant coffee is about 900,000 tons, and Nestle, which is growing at about 2.5%. Just wanted to check, within that 900,000 tons and 2.5% growth, would Nestle be growing faster than that number or slower than that number?
To be frank, we don't have that kind of data. I know that in certain markets there has been degrowth for them as well, along with all the other brands. And in some markets they're in fact having a double-digit growth also. So that kind of information is actually kept confidential. And it's because Nestle has a presence across multiple countries, it's very difficult for us to really comment on what exactly they are doing.
Okay.
The 2.5% growth, I said, is not Nestle growth. I said it's the overall instant coffee market growth.
But
considering that Nestle is almost 50% of the market, they will not be significantly above this.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Even if they're 40% of the market, they're a significant share of the market, so they won't be significantly above or below this.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
And I just wanted to thank all the participants and looking forward to talking to all of you again next quarter.
Thank you. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.